you here. Yes. Here's Governor Pritzker.
Right. Another Illinoisan to COVID-19. She was a Cook County resident in her 70s. My thoughts today are with her family and her friends. May her memory be for a blessing. As this epidemic has progressed, we've had to make some hard decisions. I'd like to take a minute to give you a window into my decision-making because I think you have a right to know why I've taken the actions that I've taken. You have a right to the truth, as difficult as it may be to hear, because you can bear it. Over the last few weeks, I've reached out to and relied upon some of the best medical experts, epidemiologists, mathematicians, and modelers to help me understand what the progression of this disease will look like in Illinois. My bedrock has been to rely upon science, real, actual science around infection rates and potential mortalities. In my discussions with these experts, I've asked for honesty and hard truths. I ask that choices and consequences of those choices be laid out for me as clearly and starkly as possible. I've asked every one of these experts, what action can I take to save the most lives? Well, they've come back to me with one inescapable conclusion. To avoid the loss of potentially tens of thousands of lives, we must enact an immediate stay-at-home order for the state of Illinois. So that is the action that I am announcing today. We have looked closely at the trajectory of this virus in countries like Italy and China. Left unchecked, cases in Illinois will rise rapidly. Hospital systems will be overwhelmed. Protective equipment will become scarce. And we will not have enough healthcare workers or hospital beds or ventilators for the overwhelming influx of sick patients. The only strategy available to us to limit the increase in cases and ensure our healthcare system has capacity to treat those who become ill is to mitigate the spread of coronavirus in the most robust manner possible. I don't come to this decision easily. I fully recognize that in some cases, I am choosing between saving people's lives and saving people's livelihoods. But ultimately, you can't have a livelihood if you don't have your life. Of all the obligations that weigh on me as governor, this is the greatest. If there are actions that I can take that will save lives in the midst of this pandemic, no matter how difficult, then I have an obligation to take these actions. Therefore, starting tomorrow evening, Saturday, March 21st at 5 p.m., until the end of April 7th, all our residents will be subject to a stay-at-home order. There is a great deal of misunderstanding about what a stay-at-home order means, so I want to clarify it for everybody. Here's what will stay the same. You'll still be able to leave your house to go to the grocery store to get food. You'll still be able to visit a pharmacy, go to a medical office or hospital, or to gas up your car at a gas station. You'll still be able to go running and hiking and walk your dog. Many, many people will still go to work. For the vast majority of you already taking precautions, your lives will not change very much. There is absolutely no need to rush out to a grocery store or gas station. On Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and every day thereafter, those will be available to you. Agriculture and the press, veterinarians and plumbers, laundromats and banks, roads, bridges and transit, the fundamental building blocks that keep our society safe and steady, will not be closing down. You can still pick up dinner from your local restaurant, pick up your prescriptions, and just spend time with your family. We are doing all that we can to maintain as much normalcy as possible while taking the steps that we must to protect you. That brings me to what will change. All non-essential businesses must stop operating, If you can work from home and aren't already doing so, now is the time when you must. The heroes of this moment are healthcare workers, first responders, law enforcement officers, and the individuals and organizations like the Illinois AFL-CIO and other workers who keep our grocery stores and pharmacies running. Cannot stay home. We need you. This executive order is fundamentally about the rest of us and what we can do to support the people on the front lines of this fight and the people most vulnerable to its consequences. We know this will be hard, and we're looking at every tool that we have to help you through this crisis. For our essential workers, we're going to make sure you have safe daycare to take care of your children while you do the critical work to save us and to keep us safe. For those who are asking to stay home, we're ordering we're ordering municipalities across the state to halt all evictions. We need our local leaders to help ensure our families do not lose their homes. I'm also directing additional resources to organizations across the state to serve those experiencing homelessness. For our students, your school districts will continue to provide you with meals, and we will back them up in this. I wish I could stand up here and tell you when your schools will safely reopen, but that is not an answer that I have at this time. We're postponing our tentative reopening date statewide until April 8th, and we'll continue to update you with new information as we have it. To be honest, we don't have the resources, the capacity, or the desire to police every individual's behavior. Enforcement comes in many forms, and our first and best option is to rely on Illinoisans to be good members of their communities and good citizens, working together to keep each other safe. I've instructed law enforcement to monitor for violations and take action when necessary, but that is not an option that anyone prefers. The easy thing to say today is that soon everything will go back to the way it was. But I want to be honest with you about that, too. We don't know yet all the steps we are going to have to take to get this virus under control. But here's what I do know. About 150 years ago, the city of Chicago burned to the ground. When the ashes cleared, we passed laws requiring buildings be built with fireproof material. We invented skyscrapers. Chicago went from a small Midwest town to one of the biggest cities in the United States. And just to make a point, we built the Chicago Fire Academy on the very spot where the Great Chicago Fire started burning. In the coming days and weeks, we're going to expand testing in Illinois to figure out how to detect COVID-19 more quickly and more efficiently. Our scientists and our doctors are working on treatments even now. They will screen people more effectively, isolate them more quickly, and attack this more efficiently. They're going to learn, and as they learn, they're going to innovate. They're already on a path to develop a vaccine. Our healthcare infrastructure will adapt because it must. This will not last forever. However, it's going to force us to change, but that's okay. Any event of this magnitude should force us to change. We here in Illinois have overcome obstacles before, and we'll do so again, and we will rise to this occasion. Thank you, and now I'd like to introduce the mayor of the city of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot.
Thank you, Governor. I have to say again, not only thank you for your partnership, but your leadership in this incredible time. I've heard from people all over the country that they feel that Illinois is in good hands because of your leadership. So thank you very much. As the governor just announced, he is issuing a stay-at-home order. And I hope you think of it that way. This is clearly not a decision that was made lightly, nor by any one person. And I echo the governor's statement. These are not our only difficult choices to be made, but they are choices that must be made for the good of all of our residents. The governor, local leaders, and I are in full agreement that we need to act swiftly, and this decision is necessary. As the governor alluded to, we have seen what bold measures have yielded in places like Japan and Singapore and South Korea. And sadly, we are witnessing what is not happening around the world in countries that did not mobilize. The coronavirus will not go away by happenstance. We must be intentional about taking steps to flatten the curve. Today's announcement, along with other steps taken in the last 2 weeks, are intended to do just that. We can only save lives and blunt the spread of this virus by keeping as many people as practical at home and safe. And I want to talk specifically about what this will mean for Chicago. Our city, in the absence of leadership from the federal government, frankly, is doing the following: finalizing, securing quarantine and isolation locations, bolstering hospital capacity, supporting our healthcare workers and first responders, and doing everything possible to relieve the pressure on them, and building a supply chain to make sure that critical equipment to the healthcare system, things like ventilators, PPEs, and other important supplies, are available and given to areas of need. We will continue to identify residents who are sick and ensure they receive the treatment and resources they so rightfully deserve, and put them on a path to recovery, as has happened already with many. Our healthcare workers have been at the forefront of this pandemic. They are working around the clock and putting their own health on the line to keep those who need it most. That means we as a city must do everything we can to help them. Now is not the time for half measures, but preventative and proactive plans, ones rooted in science and data, and to mitigate the spread and ultimately to save lives. And let's be clear, this has to be a two-way street. While the responsibility of our government is to build a plan, your personal responsibility is to take all necessary precautions to keep yourself safe and formally include in order to stay at home. I know we are asking a lot of residents and to make enormous sacrifices. I also understand that these times can be causing anxiety. And again, think of this as safer at home. But here's the reality. We've issued common sense public health guidance. This is announcement today is the next step in that progression. So many Chicagoans have already heeded our calls to stay home and are practicing social distancing. For those residents, today's announcement won't drastically change the day-to-day changes you've already taken. But while many have listened, some have not. And it's clear that the time is now for us to be very definitive in telling people that you must stay home. The governor already explained what this order is and what it requires from each of us. And I want to say and be clear, this is not a lockdown or martial law. As the governor said, and I want to reiterate, Chicago's grocery stores, pharmacies, and clinics will remain open. And there's absolutely no need to change your normal purchasing patterns. What I mean is, do not take this direction as a reason to run to the stores, buy everything in sight, and hoard vital supplies. Please, the grocery stores will remain open and stock. So be mindful of your neighbors and do not hoard supplies. Hospitals will continue to treat patients. The city's essential services will not cease. The CTA will run. Airports will be open, and your garbage will be collected. And yes, you can still go outside for a walk, but practice social distancing. Remember, this is the new normal for now. I think and I hope people recognize and understand that these decisions are being made for the long-term health of everybody, everywhere, in our entire state. Let me remind you that of some helpful resources that you can access to stay informed during this crisis. For Chicago, the best and most up-to-date information is the public health website, chicago.gov/coronavirus. And if you'd like to get text alerts, text COVID-19, that's COVID-19, to 78015. That's COVID-19 to 78015. And every day at 11 a.m., Monday through Sunday, Dr. Arity's daily conversation session is being held. The Doctor Is In, and it is carried on Facebook Live. I also want to announce that in light of this order, we will be closing fully Chicago parks and libraries for the duration of this order. Some of these facilities may be repurposed to help support some other essential services by third parties, but effective tomorrow at 5 p.m., all city parks and libraries will be closed. This is a make-or-break moment for our city and our state. Never in our lifetime has our own health been so intertwined with the health of every single person with whom we interact. Neighbors, coworkers, loved ones, frontline workers, please realize your responsibility to them and continue to take care of yourself. Now, as I said recently, while this is a period of physical isolation, we should remain in contact with our families, friends, and neighbors. Please call and check in with seniors, people who are vulnerable. We have disrupted normal social networks and interactions, but it is critically important that we not lose our sense of community. This is not a time for every man for himself. This is a time for every man, woman, and child to be united together. The choices we make today can renew and restore health and prosperity in Chicago and throughout Illinois. It is time to do more to flatten the curve and build our pathway to the other side. I have faith in Chicago's resolve and resiliency to help us get there. Thank you very much, Governor.
Thank you, Mayor, very much for your remarks. And ladies and gentlemen, I have over time been relying upon experts both here in Illinois and across the nation. The research that they've done, the work that they've done has guided me in many of the decisions that I have made. I thought it would be important to have one of those experts here today. It's outside of our Department of Public Health, who has some very important guidance and background on why this order is so important. And so I've asked the lead epidemiologist at University of Chicago Medicine to join us here today, Dr. Emily Landon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
First of all, I want to send my sincere gratitude and support to all of the healthcare workers in Illinois and around the world. Despite doing our best to prepare for a respiratory virus pandemic, we now find ourselves facing a brand new virus with too little information, not enough personal protective equipment, changing protocols every single day, and no second chances. The University of Chicago Medicine and every other hospital in the state has been and is working very closely with our public health departments. Without these partnerships with each other and with public health and the CDC, we could not have made it this far, and we will not get much further. And so I also express my gratitude to everyone working in public health. All of us in the field of infectious diseases and the public health community are united in our efforts and agree with this course of action. I've spoken with many of my colleagues across the city and the state, and we all acknowledge that this is the only way forward. This virus is unforgiving. It spreads before you even know you've caught it, and it tricks you into believing that it's nothing more than a little influenza. For many of us, it may not be much more than the flu, and so it can be very confusing as to why schools are closed, restaurants are shuttered, and now the virus is taking what's left of our precious liberty. But the real problem is not the 80% who will get over this in a week. It's the 20% of patients, the older, those that are immunocompromised, those that have other medical problems, who are going to need a bit more support, some oxygen, or maybe a ventilator, life support. We do amazing things like this to save patients in our American hospitals and across the world every single day, but we can't take care of everyone at once. And we can't keep that low mortality promise if we can't provide the support that our patients need. Our healthcare system doesn't have any slack. There are no empty wards for waiting for patients or nurses waiting in the wings. We barely even have enough masks for the nurses that we have. Looking back to the last time we were limited tools and having a dangerous infection spread quickly was the beginning of the 1918 pandemic. Two cities in America made different choices about how to proceed and when only a few patients were affected. St. Louis shut itself down and sheltered in place. But Philadelphia went ahead with a huge parade to celebrate those going off to war. A week later, Philadelphia hospitals were overrun and thousands were dead, many more than in St. Louis. This is a cautionary tale for our time. Things are already tough in Illinois hospitals, including mine. There's no vaccine or readily available antiviral to help stem the tide. All we have to slow the spread is distance, social distance. And if we let every single patient with this infection infect three more people and then each of them infect two or three more people, there won't be a hospital bed when my mother can't breathe very well or when yours is coughing too much. So in my house, we've made a lot of sacrifices. We don't go out anymore. This is the first time I've left my house in some days because I'm leading our efforts and emergency planning from my home. My son has traded in sports, a science conference, and the fifth grade bake sale for puzzles, e-learning, and some video chats. This isn't the life any of us expected, and certainly there are others who will make much greater sacrifices. And there are many more disappointments to come. But this isn't going to be forever, like the governor said. It will last longer than any of us want it to. In the end, we will look back and see it as just a piece of what happened in our whole lives. And we have to remember that. How can soccer or book club be so dangerous? Why ask so much of people for just a few hundred cases? Because it's the only way to save those lives. And now is the time. Because the numbers you see today in the news are the people that got sick a week ago. And there are still people today who got sick today who haven't even noticed that they've been sick yet. They picked up the virus, and it will take a week to see that show in our numbers. Waiting for hospitals to be overwhelmed will leave the following week's patients with nowhere to go. In short, without taking drastic measures, the healthy and optimistic among us will doom the vulnerable. We have to fight this fire before it grows too high. These extreme restrictions may seem, in the end, a little anticlimactic because it's really hard to feel like you're saving the world when you're watching Netflix from your couch. But if we do this right, nothing happens. Yeah. A successful shelter in place means that you're going to feel like it was all for nothing. And you'd be right. Because nothing means that nothing happened to your family. And that's what we're going for here. Even starting now, we can't stop the cases from coming fast and furious, at least for the next couple of weeks and in the short term. But with a real commitment to sheltering in place and a whole lot of patience, we can help protect our critical workers who need to use public transportation in order to safely get from where they need to go. We can give our factories time to ramp up production of all that PPE so that we have enough masks to last. And we can make more medications and learn more about how we can use them to help save more lives. Even a little time makes a huge difference. It will take more than a week to start seeing the rate of increase slow down. And that's a complicated thing to say. It'll take even longer to see the rate come down and see it slowing and infections going down. So please don't give up. I've lived in Illinois my entire life. And I know we'll get through this together and find a way back to the life that we used to live. Public health and hospitals have been working hard for a long time, and now it's your turn to do your part. A huge sacrifice to make, but a sacrifice that can make thousands of differences, maybe even a difference in your family, too. I'd like to ask Dr. Ezike to join us now.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Dr. Landon, for that impassioned plea. Thank you. I think your message will ring loud across everyone's ears who heard that. As the governor mentioned, I am saddened to announce another individual in Illinois with the coronavirus who has passed away. And that individual was a resident of Cook County who was in her 70s. We now have 585 cases of COVID-19 in 25 counties across Illinois. As the number of COVID-19 cases being reported continues to rise every single day, the state of Illinois is working to increase testing capacity by working with Illinois hospitals to implement testing within their facilities. We want to strengthen the testing capacity in Illinois by helping hospitals and laboratories to develop their own testing ability, and we expect to have these tests available within the healthcare system in the next few weeks. Additionally, the state is working with the Department of Health and Human Services to set up drive-through testing sites in some of the hardest-hit areas of the state. One of these community-based testing sites will be operated by the state of Illinois with support from the U.S. Health and Human Services. Three additional sites are a federal, state, private partnership, the state of Illinois with the Health and Human Services and both Walgreens and Walmart. We want to thank both of these businesses for their support during this difficult and unprecedented time. These facilities will focus on senior citizens, first responders, and healthcare workers. We are finalizing these plans now and look forward to announcing more in the coming days. Hospital capacity is another area we are focusing on, identifying resources and ways to increase our bed capacity in Illinois to treat those who contract the novel coronavirus. The state has been working with other jurisdictions and businesses to reopen recently opened hospitals. We are currently doing assessments at different hospitals in Illinois to determine the current condition of the facility, the medical resources available, staffing levels, and what else might be needed to open these facilities in order to provide medical care for individuals with COVID-19. Additionally, we have worked with our federal partners to develop guidance for hospitals to adopt telehealth protocols so that individuals with mild respiratory symptoms can talk to a healthcare provider before seeking medical care and possibly infecting others in the process. We ask again that everyone do their part so that we can reserve both testing capacity and medical care availability, including ICU capability, for those who need it the most. If you are a healthy individual with only mild symptoms, please stay home and allow those who are at highest risk of severe illness to receive the testing and the medical care that they need. We thank you for your cooperation. At no previous time have we seen how interconnected we all are and how everyone's decision or indecision can affect others. Thank you. And now I will summarize the comments for our Spanish-speaking audience.
All right, let me step away from that for just a moment while the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health does that. Just repeating now the top stories coming out of this press conference by the governor of the state of Illinois. There is a stay-at-home order now that will be in effect starting tomorrow at 5 p.m. That essentially means that they're asking residents of the state of Illinois to stay in their homes, not to go out to public places unless they have to for grocery, gas, they are essential workers, or if they need prescriptions. You can take a walk, the governor said. So, I mean, that kind of, in some respects, seems to contradict that. But the argument here would be that you can do it as long as there's that social distancing of 2 meters, 6 feet, whatever it happens to be between two people, however you want to look at that. Also, the other headline here is that Cook County now has 588 cases. There are 25 counties which are now included in this outbreak, and 5 dead in the state of Illinois so far as a result of this. There was also an epidemiologist from the University of Chicago who spoke, who said that they do expect an influx of patients into hospitals over the next few days, and that all of these measures that are being taken are in, of course, expectation that it will slow down the transmission of this virus as it moves its way through the Chicago metropolitan area. Internationally, China says that they have no new domestic cases, but now have 39 imported cases that they are reporting as well. So that's kind of an interesting twist in this story, in the sense that as much as we've done now, the president earlier today mentioned that they are going to be shutting down the northern and southern borders now. There's going to be a southern border with Mexico, a shutdown of that for all non-essential personnel and non-essential goods and services that would be coming across the border. So we are continuing to try to clamp down on international people coming in. China, interestingly enough, those 39 imported cases, maybe people moving, you know, on the roadways coming up through Southeast Asia or Mongolia or points to the west on their border. It's unclear at the moment where those are actually coming from, but it's an important reminder that it's going to take not just the everybody sheltering in place here. It does take a shutting of the borders as well. That's a very important part of keeping this from growing in those, certainly in those border communities, and then moving throughout the general population. There is no plan for, as according to the president from his press conference earlier today, for a national shutdown of the of like a national stay at home order or anything like that, a lockdown. And he is also not expecting that they're going to stop all domestic aviation transportation, but we will see. There may be a shutdown in that too, because they continue to say that everything is under consideration. Back to the press conference.
Over to Brad Cole, who is the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League.
Thank you, Dr. Ezekiel. On behalf of the 1,298 cities, villages, and towns throughout Illinois, all represented by the Illinois Municipal League, we stand in support of the governor's actions today, and we will fully cooperate to administer the local aspects of managing compliance and enforcement during this critical time. Mayors, village presidents, town presidents, aldermen, council, and board members across this state, from Chicago to Cairo, from Quincy to Danville, were elected to provide for and protect the health, safety, and welfare of their communities and their constituents. The governor's executive orders, previously and today, do just that. Local governments and local elected officials are the closest to the people, and we will get the most questions and conflicts while implementing these important steps. We ask for patience and understanding as residents encounter local public safety, public works, and other first responders during this time. We will share as much information as possible at all times with the public, and we will maintain openness and accessibility throughout. Municipal operations will continue, although obviously limited to essential functions. Community leaders prepare for and handle natural disasters and unknown events as best we can, and this is no different. Thank you. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dan Cronin, chairman of the DuPage County Board.
Good afternoon. Over the past several weeks, the governor and local leaders have been forced to make difficult decisions that disrupt our routines, our businesses, our lives, trying to make the best choice in a series of tough choices. When we consider the impacts on business and the economy, when we try to strike just the right balance, when we acknowledge the costs to families, to employers, our workforce, and our entire community, we must always remember that our first obligation as public officials is to protect the health and safety of our citizens during a public health crisis. These are people's lives. Today's actions represents a sincere bipartisan effort to fulfill the responsibility government has to the public to combat the spread of COVID-19 while at the same time preserving the operations of essential businesses and our local economy as much as possible. Please know our decisions are not made lightly. I sincerely appreciate the governor reaching out to me to learn more about the needs of our county, our municipalities, and our business community. We've worked very hard to create a balanced, measured, thoughtful approach. This is a great example of Illinoisans coming together in the face of a serious challenge. I believe we will carry forward this same spirit of cooperation and collaboration when the immediate health crisis has passed, because at that time, we will face additional difficult choices and challenges. I hope all elected officials in Illinois will work together moving forward. When it's time to reopen, restore our commercial equilibrium, come out of this crisis, and get everyone back to business, back to building our Illinois economy. Better days are ahead, but together we seek everyone's cooperation now as we act as one Illinois, united to weather this storm, united as we must be prioritizing people's lives and their health. Nothing is more important. And with that, the governor will answer some questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I just want to reiterate what the chairman just said, which is there really is nothing political about this virus or the response to it. We've been in consultation, Democrats and Republicans talking to one another, political leaders, nonpartisan elected leaders, trying to get this right. And so with that, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have. I want to point out we're going to have some questions coming from people who are not in the room, reporters who are working from home and elsewhere. We'll take questions from them after we take people's questions from right here in the room. Yes, sir.
Can you explain the legal authority you have in making this order if there were to be a challenge in the courts or otherwise? And also, what is the fine punishment either for businesses that shouldn't be operating, that are operating, or individuals who are out who shouldn't be out?
So the Emergency Management Act, the Public Health Act in the state of Illinois, we can give you the citations for those, give the authority to either the governor or the director of public health to make decisions as we have for the state. And so I'm happy to refer you to the legal sections of it. I have my general counsel here as well, who formerly was at the Attorney General's office and has the legal cites to give you. And the other half of your question, I'm sorry.
Punishment or citations for either individuals or businesses that are operating?
Well, we're calling upon people to use their best judgment, to follow the guidance that we're giving them. We're, of course, authorizing that that members of law enforcement, if they see somebody who's maybe violating this order, they would go talk to them and ask them not to. And then if the people who are violating the rule refuse to comply, a police officer could get a cease and desist order. They'd have to go get one at a court to do that. And then finally, in a, you know, a in last resort, really, you know, there is the kind of reckless conduct misdemeanor that someone could be charged with. But look, we anticipate that people will follow this order. There can be consequences at the local level, rescinding people's permits to do business if it's a business person, and other consequences. But in the end here, what we're really asking people to do is to do what they know they ought to, which is to stay at home. And for those who can't stay at home because they may be homeless, we are providing and attempting to provide shelter for those people. I'm doing our best to arrange that. That's something I care deeply about. I know the mayor and the chairman does too, care deeply about, even in other times. Now it's vitally important that we try to find shelter for them. Yes, Dana.
Dana,
yeah.
I think you touched upon, I was going to ask about enforceability statewide, but if I may direct a question to Mayor Lightfoot, what does that look like in Chicago in particular, and how does that tie in with the order, for lack of a better word, this afternoon, that all Chicago Police Patrol officers days off have been canceled?
Well, I think, as the governor said, what we're hoping to do in Chicago, and I'm assuming this will happen in other communities across the state, we're going to try to educate people into compliance. Look, the reality is, if you look at what's happened over the arc of the last 10 days, people are staying at home. They're teleworking. They are really paring down, as we are in city government, to the bare essence, only going out when they need to go out. So I don't expect that there's going to be widespread disagreement or violations of this order, but our police department is going to be instructed that if they see someone on the street, they can engage them in a conversation. If they're not supposed to be out, they'll give them an admonition to go home. And I think for most people, that will be enough. Well, look, I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of resource deployment, but suffice it to say, we want to make sure that we have enough resources on the street to keep people safe, to make sure that we're protecting businesses and other property.
Governor, a lot of people out there obviously have text messages that they're receiving. There's a lot of misinformation out there about the National Guard.
Yeah.
Can you talk about this idea of the martial law that people are concerned?
Yeah, thank you. For those who are watching, can't hear the question. I'm smiling because there have been a lot of rumors circulating around that are completely inaccurate, rumors that there's martial law that's going to be imposed, that we've called out the Guard or the military somehow to impose their will upon the state of Illinois. Those are all false. And I want people to take a deep breath, people who have heard these rumors. Remember, in addition to people who just like to forward rumors around on Twitter or on Facebook, there is also, I hate to tell you, an effort by the Chinese government and the Russian government to feed into that paranoia that people have about what's going on, the COVID-19 challenge that we have all across the United States. And so I appreciate the question because I have had to beat back rumors every day. Our staff has too. I've even heard it from responsible people who've heard it from someone maybe slightly less responsible who heard it from somebody who's just making it up. And so that is why we've had daily press conferences. I want you all to have the truth. I'm giving you what I know honestly. I'm bringing the experts to you so that you can hear directly from them what's really going on. And I'm acting in a way that I think is responsive to the facts, to the science, and the medicine that we have at hand.
Okay, we're going to do one more in the room, and then we're going to go to the phone.
So as it relates to parks, this is a question for both of you. So as far as for you, what is your order being for state parks and parks around the state? And I can do it now or right after for the mayor.
I'll just quickly say that our DNR parks are closed, and we don't have our personnel working at the park. There are a lot of local parks, though, around the state, and the decisions about those parks will be made, just as they are here in Chicago, by the mayor or the city council or by a county board, about whether those will be open to the public in their areas. For the most part, I think that people have the ability to go out and recreate. Trying to discourage is people recreating and not getting together. We want people not to get so close together that they're violating this kind of 6-foot rule. We want social distancing. You can still go out and enjoy the outside, outdoors. You can walk your dog and so on. We just want people to be extra careful when they're out to be respectful of all the other people that are out and about. So I'm happy to turn over to the mayor.
Yes, sir.
And Mayor, how does this apply to Millennium Park? Can people still walk around Millennium Park?
Yeah, they can certainly walk around in the park space. We're not cordoning off the park space, but what we're saying is that the facilities that have been open, whether it's parks or libraries, are going to be closed starting tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Okay, and we're going to turn to questions from the phone. What does this mean for domestic travel into and out of Illinois? Should delivery service workers still report to work?
The question, I think everybody can hear you. The The answer to the question is that delivery workers should still show up to work. We need people to show up to deliver. There are so many things that need to be delivered. Our supply chain needs to continue. I even mentioned in my remarks about restaurants, making sure that their delivery services are available to people. So we would encourage people, in fact, who have delivery jobs to make sure that you're checking in with your employer. But we are, in fact, that's an essential function for our state and for all the cities, municipalities, counties across our state.
Is there help available for caring for the children of essential workers?
Yes, so we are working very hard to provide child care, especially for essential workers. We want to make sure that we're standing up. Remember, we don't want to put too many children or child care workers in the same room together in the same facility. So we're actually working to provide the right size, small sizes of perhaps a half a dozen children, especially for our healthcare workers, I want to point out. And I would like to just make a special plea, as the mayor was suggesting, that our healthcare workers are really on the front lines here. So whatever you can do to make their lives easier, including helping them with childcare, helping them with getting groceries, perhaps, and dropping them off at their door, I would very much appreciate that. I know they would appreciate that, and you'd really be doing something important for our state.
Are there any plans currently in place for the Department of Juvenile Justice to let the 225 youth held in juvenile detention centers to return home? It seems like it would be a much easier calculation than for the adult prison population.
We have Department of Juvenile Justice in the state. We do not have very many kids who are in those facilities in general. It's a little over 200, as was suggested. We are making sure to maintain social distancing in those facilities. And, you know, where we can, we're certainly going to look at the possibility of those kids being allowed to return home. But most importantly, we want them to have shelter. We want them to be safe and healthy. We're going to work very hard to make sure that that happens, especially for those children.
And what about DOC?
So DOC, obviously, a slightly more complex issue. The Department of Corrections, though, is something that we've looked very closely at. There are obviously people who are held in confined spaces and cells in prisons, and we know that there is a risk, as there is anywhere where you might put a lot of people together, that there would be an infection. And so we're working very hard to make sure there are areas for segregating people who may get the flu or get a cold or some other condition that, you know, if COVID-19 was something that might infect them, there wouldn't be a comorbidity, as they call it. And so we're working hard in our prisons to make sure that happens. And as I mentioned at a point in an earlier press conference, we're also looking at the possibility of people with nonviolent offenses who have served much of their time, that the possibility of alleviating some of the burden in the Department of Corrections by allowing them to be paroled with a lot of conditions associated with that.
Mayor, Governor, have either of you or anyone close to you or on senior staff been tested for coronavirus? What precautions are you taking as you're faced with governing through this crisis?
My staff, thank goodness, has been healthy. We had somebody who went home not feeling well at one point, and ultimately she was tested and tested negative. She's back at work. She feels fine now. We've all been practicing social distancing. We've been, doing a good job of we've let a lot of our staff work from home, so there are not very many of us. There's a core group that are working in the governor's office, but everybody that works in the governor's office is working from somewhere, if not in the governor's office. In terms of myself, I mean, I'm working day and night. You know, we're all working hard. I think as hard as we work, we know that we have a mission here of keeping people safe, and so I'm going to continue to do that. But I am practicing, I think, the proper distancing and rules that I think we've given to everybody else. Yep, the mayor. I'm sorry.
There's nobody on my team that I'm aware of that has tested positive. Obviously, we've had city workers who have, In each instance where that's happened, we've done the kind of public health investigation that we would do with anybody else, which is we, in the Department of Public Health, immediately digs in, talks to them, talks to their coworkers. We take the immediate cleaning precautions to make sure that we're keeping the rest of their coworkers safe. What we've told folks is, as we've been paring down to essential services, a lot of our workforce is working from home, like with the state. And I don't think you can walk more than a couple feet in my office if there's not a hand sanitizing dispenser of some sort. So, as the governor said, we know it's critically important for us as leaders to remain healthy, trying to get as much sleep as we can. I don't do enough exercise in good times, so but we are trying to do walks and make sure that we have some time during the course of the day just to have downtime and decompress from everything that's going on.
Okay, this will be our final question. You've said this order is until April 7th, but how do you know it might not go longer than that?
Look, I think you've seen that we've had to work quickly, act with haste, based upon the information that we're given, guidance by the CDC, what the experts are telling us. So I'm not going to tell you, as I said earlier, I'm not going to tell you that I know that the end of April 7th is that is in fact ultimately the end date. We believe that that gives us time, and again, I've spoken with the experts, Dr. Landon, for example, and others. We believe that gives us time to see whether or not this social distancing and this stay-at-home order is having the desired effect of bending the curve. It begins to help us determine that, and then we will, as the days go on, as we have all along, we'll keep you informed. We'll tell you what we're thinking, and ultimately, if we need to, we'll make a decision as we approach that date. I just want to add that I'm very, very grateful. Once again, I want everybody here to know how hard our staffs, the mayor's staff, the chairman's staff, the Illinois Municipal League, and all the members, the mayors, people are working very long hours to make sure that they get this right, that we have the right information, and that we do what's right for the people who we represent. And so I just want to express my gratitude, because this is, I think, one of the hardest periods of time that anybody who works in state government has gone through. And you should all be proud of the public servants who serve you every day. So thank you very much.
Thank you.